Yeah, what are you wistfully singing about? You barely knew each other, Barbara, and you mostly printed flyers for 4 years of college. It was not so simple then. Is that the point? Whatever. The Way We Were was The Way We Was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hi, my name's Sean Collier. I'm here with two library patrons who have stuff to do. It's Robin Hitchcock.
I got slimed.
And Camila Adams. Ghostbusters. 89 and two-thirds. Yes, that's in the top 10. Let's check in, shall we? Now at number 10, Raiders of the Lost Ark, 88 and a quarter. Men in Black in ninth, 88 and a third. Alien is eighth, 89 and a half. Ghostbusters is seventh, 89 and two thirds. Those four are really packed in there. Silence of the Lambs is sixth, 91 and a third. Titanic is fifth, just slightly higher. Carrie is fourth, 91 and two thirds. Same number as Titanic. I broke the tie by giving Carrie a 98.
Wearing the Carrie hat today?
I am. Fight Club is third, 92 and a third. Birdcage is second, nice. Same score. Camila's 97 breaks that tie. I can't imagine what will ever beat Get Out, number one, 95.
That. Wow.
Not only 95 in the almost 200 movies, maybe more than 200 movies we've rated, it's still over a point ahead of its nearest competition.
Yes.
So.
And as you'll recall, all three of us gave it 95.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when did we even do that?
2 years ago?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, 2022.
Okay. Now 3 years ago.
Now that we've been doing this since 2018?
Yeah.
It all seems like gosh. 2 years ago. Even yeah. though it was often five yes. years ago, 7 years ago.
I can't believe it. We've been doing this for so long. It does yeah. not feel
time
like
flies when
long.
You're having fun.
Yeah. yeah, we're enjoying it. We'll enjoy talking about the way we were probably more than we enjoyed. I don't know. I'm guessing. This was new to me. I like it. It's a good movie. I'm bored, but it's there. It's happening. It's movie stars. I don't know. Camila?
I never saw it. Never had any intention on seeing it. I too was bored. And angry at Katie, like a lot of
really,
yeah.
Why?
She seems insufferable.
Oh God, I don't want to be friends with her.
One, two. There was I forget which scene. I think maybe when he left in the morning or something like that. She just seems like so quick to just give up on who she is at her core.
Yeah.
In order to get him,
she seems pretty pathetic at yeah. various points in this movie, and I think that she just needs love.
Yeah, and I understand that. I can empathize.
And I think that she has that thing going on where she's like, this impossibly beautiful person is interested in me.
Right.
Therefore, he must be worth it. And it's like, no.
Yeah. No, he's not. There's not a lot there, friend.
Yes. No, I hear what you're saying about how it would be a real bummer to have to spend time with this lady.
Yes.
But I like her way more than I like, what's his name? Hubble?
Hubble.
Hubble.
What are these names?
Hold please. H-U-B-B-L-E.
And
it's like
that,
the telescope.
What do I look like moaning Hubble in the dark? Like what?
I thought she was saying Humboldt. Which is at least close to a name.
I thought she was calling him by his last name.
I also thought it was his last name. And then when the teacher said his name, I was like, wait a second. So anyway,
Hubble.
That guy, garbage. Garbage can man.
I don't want to say that he's garbage. It's more like he is who he is. He might be garbage for like entertaining the thought to be with her. Because I feel like he knew better.
Yeah.
He knew that shit wasn't going to last. And it was just more like.
Well, it sure does last.
Yeah. It does.
They're together for 2 decades.
But it's like fucking. I don't know.
That was 2 decades?
That was 2 decades?
Yes.
I thought it was like 3-4 years.
They meet during the war and then they get divorced after HUAC.
Yes, which is the 60s.
I think it's the 50s.
Late 50s.
Yeah. So I'm saying they were together for the 40s and the 50s.
I don't.
Well, maybe not last. Maybe work. Because I don't feel like it worked.
It does.
I mean, they may have been together forever, but I don't think that it was a happy forever.
No.
I don't understand what old people found romantic. I don't. I don't know.
It was a different time. Yeah.
I think so much of it is literally just movie star power.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Do you have it in the facts as to why in the trailer?
Wouldn't it be lovely if we were old? We'd have survived all this. And everything would be uncomplicated and easy. Like it was when we were young.
Katie, it was never uncomplicated.
Katie, what are you selling?
Stop. The ROTC, you can have it cheap. Fascist.
Look, I don't know when I'll be back. Could you leave a key or...
You can't, you can't. I've got steaks and baked potatoes and sour cream and chives and salad and fresh baked pie. I would have made a pot roast. I make a terrific pot roast, but I didn't know whether you ever had pot roast, whether you like pot roast. And anyway, there wasn't time because it really should be made the day before. You can't go yet. You just got to stay for supper. That's all there is to it.
What kind of pie?
The way we were.
It's such a big deal.
It's like the only thing
right.
in the trailer.
The
trailer is going to be real short because I can't leave in too much of the song.
Right. But it's like Streisand and Redford together.
Over
like.
And over again.
I don't have a fact about it, but my explanation would be, what else are you going to sell? See them.
Love.
Bicker sometimes. Thrill as he moves. What?
There's so much, like, so many longing glances. Not even glances, just stares, just staring mm-hmm. at each other.
I think that stare at the bar at the beginning, I'm like, that isn't appropriate. Oh my God, you're still as beautiful as ever. Stare.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah.
That one was good.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah.
So let's do the plot recap.
You can time me, it won't take the whole time.
Okay.
Go.
It's 1937. She's a far-left college activist. He's generally popular and good-looking. They flirt, kinda? Years pass. It's World War II. She's making military radio broadcasts. He's getting out of the service. She tries to seduce him. It requires steak, but works. But she hates his friends. They break up. They get back together. They get married off-screen. They move to Hollywood so he can write screenplays, but he can't break through. She's pregnant. Uh-oh, McCarthyism. They go before Congress. It gets ugly. They break up again for real this time. He sticks around until the baby's born. Years pass again. They run into each other on the street and have both moved on. Things don't work out sometimes, and that's okay. Ban the bomb.
Yep.
Did I miss anything? He's a writer?
You mentioned that.
Okay. You did mention that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much
you,
it.
You missed that poor Picasso painting getting torn in half.
Big year for the movies we watch ruining Picasso's.
Yes.
Because happens in Titanic, too.
Oh, yeah. I have a question about, I wasn't clear, did they actually have sex when he goes up into her?
Oh,
when he's drunk?
When he's like asleep drunk in the beginning?
Yeah, and
he I think so. I think that they had terrible limp dick sex.
Yeah.
I think.
Is she considered taking advantage
yes.
of him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, was like my first like, this is so sad. This makes me so sad.
You know, her reward for that was like maybe being awkwardly entered for a moment.
Right.
Right.
So.
And then he falls asleep on top of
oh,
her.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I hate the scene which was in the trailer, so you heard it, of her being like, I used all my ration stamps to buy you steaks and pie.
Ugh.
It's so pathetic. Ugh. Yeah. Katie.
It's
Catherine.
I get that she's... Blue sky sent back in time 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, and thus has not had time for love. But, like, why so much? Why so into
This guy?
That nerd would have slept with you. I know that nerd would have. That nerd that you were dancing with.
James Woods.
Was that James
that
Woods?
That was James Woods.
James, baby James Woods absolutely would have.
He wanted her so bad.
Yeah.
That poor guy.
And he's not. Okay, yeah. The other guy is Robert Redford, admittedly.
Yes.
But it's James Woods, it wasn't like the nerd from Grease. It wasn't like,
no, right?
You know, it was a decently good looking guy who you share common interests with.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Right there. And speaking of the dance, what a fucking baller move on Redford's part. Like, he rolls in, cuts the dude's dance, dances, stares, says zip, and then was like, all right, you can have her back, and walks the fuck away.
Amazing.
Doesn't look back. I'm like, all right, I got you, and now I see the appeal.
Mm. But that and half a conversation outside a bar are the two misty watercolored memories we're referring to in the song. Yeah. Yeah, this is so.
I thought the memories more came into play in their real relationship in the war.
No, I think it was like from jump. We kept hearing it in several different renditions.
I mean, college is a misty watercolored memory for everybody, right?
Yes. So,
is that the point of the song, that it's
yes,
it's not real, yes, and it's not
just
true,
all
and
yes,
it's
nostalgia. Just that's what we're everything is in a nostalgic filter.
Do I just not have that?
The lost love.
Do you have the one
that got away, quote unquote?
Yes.
And so, yes.
I'm over here understanding the song. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Based on like personality.
I definitely remember things that kind of sucked as nicer than they were because I missed that time of my life as youth. Mm-hmm. Like high school, for example.
Yikes.
I'm just kind of like, yeah, I wouldn't ever want to go back there. But when I think of it much nicer than it really was.
Yeah,
I don't think of it much. I can think of people like to your point. I can think of individual people and individual moments. But when I think of the era, I think of the time of my life, I was sad. And when I remember it, I remember being sad.
Mm.
And
right.
I'm sad about those memories.
Okay. Yeah.
And this feels like it should be true for her.
That she should be sad about those memories.
She should just be sad in general. She's had a rough go.
Yeah.
I thought I liked this. Maybe I didn't.
Oh, well, here's, okay.
Did you like it?
So what I want to say is that if you listen to last week's episode when we drew this, I was like, it's bullshit, bad movie, okay? And I watched it last week with Colin's 95-year-old grandpa, who I call Franco. Most of the family calls him Bango. And that experience was so coop and precious. Mm. And he's a Barbara super fan. That's why we wanted to watch it together. And like, I enjoyed the movie so much more than I remembered because of those circumstances. So all that being said, I think that the movie is not great because what we're kind of dancing around, which is like, why tell this story of these two people who are so clearly not right for each other? Why tell the epic love story of two schmucks who don't really love each other?
But he liked it. Well, hey, why don't we let him speak for himself?
Right. After watching it with Franco, I did take out my little phone recorder and we chatted for a bit. So the audio quality is garbage, but you can handle it. This is Franco on The Way We Were.
My podcast is called The Number One Movie in America.
Yeah.
And this movie won a box office weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So did you see this in the theater?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and did you see this movie with Dottie?
Of course.
Do you remember seeing it back then?
Oh, yeah.
Watching it today, did you still like it?
Did I like it? Yeah, I loved it because I love her.
Yeah.
And he's a great actor. And I know the story and I remember it. I remember the whole thing.
Don't you think he's not good enough for her?
Do I think he's not good enough for her? Yeah.
Yeah. She could do so much better.
Well, it isn't that he could do so much better. It was the wrong person for him.
Yes.
No matter what, he still liked that girl.
Yeah.
And he had an affair with her.
Yeah.
That's bad. And he really wasn't into her political, what's a good word for it?
Interests.
How political she
was.
Yeah. He really wasn't into that. And that upset him because it irritated his friends. You know, she couldn't get along with his friends. So he was isolated with her.
I wish we got to see more of her friends.
We never saw any of her friends.
Right. It's like, I want to know.
She didn't have any friends.
She deserves friends.
Well, she deserves it, but she was so harsh with everybody.
That's true.
So many people today, they very honestly are apathetic. We're so apathetic now with what's happening.
Yeah. Is it hard seeing it happen again?
Yeah, it really is.
I'm sorry.
It's really sad. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I think people like Barbara's character are so important, and yeah, why it's such a bummer, and why it makes me not like Robert Redford's character, that he wants to stifle her.
Well, I don't think he wanted to stifle her, but it was embarrassing for him for the way he was brought up.
Okay.
The way you're brought up sort of molds you.
Yes.
You know,
you're being very thoughtful and kind to him. You're being so nice to him. No, I just want to throw him in the garbage.
I'm understanding. Here's a Gentile boy.
Yeah.
That is not heavy Jewish.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a difference there.
Yeah.
She's very Jewish with it and very into what she
right
thinks is right. And he has never been that way. We saw it through college. He was the star. He was this. He was that.
You know,
he was throwing the javelin. He was different.
Yeah.
It wasn't his right mate, I don't think.
So at the end, she ends up with a Jewish guy.
Right.
David X. Cohen.
It says.
So yeah. I hope he's a better husband.
Well, I would hope so, too.
And what do you think about the song?
Oh, well, I love her singing.
Yeah.
I thought she was the ultimate.
Absolutely. No question.
And the glamorous movie, you know, the movie star, he is an actor.
Yeah. Well, she looked terrific.
Huh?
She looks phenomenal in this movie.
Mm-hmm. I think she's looking better. I didn't think she looked great.
Okay, one more question. If you had to give this movie a score from 1 to 100,
oh,
100 being the best, you're giving 100?
Well, then I have to give it like 95.
95, just like you.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, that one part I didn't like about him.
Yeah.
But for the acting and the story.
And just getting to watch Barbara.
Yeah.
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 Thank you for talking to me, Franco.
Honey,
thank you for watching this movie.
I adore you.
I love you, too.
True feelings.
Thank you so much. This was really special getting to watch this with you.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah, it was fun.
Isn't he precious?
He is.
I'm counting that score.
Okay. Like
we have a,
he can only help.
We have a column on the spreadsheet for guest
okay
ratings.
Nice.
Excellent.
He gets it. Maybe this got to be generational. Like hearing that, I'm like, okay, this.
Yeah, it absolutely has to be. And
he's so
and
nice to Robert Redford. Franco was. I was like, come on, you're giving this guy all of the slack
he
in
is,
the world.
And I understand it. And it's just, I think the story of the, you know, star-crossed lovers or, you know, the people who want to be together but should not be together.
Right.
It's as old as time. I think the telling of it this way just romanticizes it much more than it should be. They tried a little too hard to be together.
Yeah.
And I feel like both of them, especially her, should have had enough sense at the end to be like, you know what, this shit's not working.
No.
And it's fun to watch the, you know, we get together, we bump heads, we go apart. We get together, we bump heads, we come apart. But this is just so, this song, everything about this is just too porcelain and just fucking, just everything is just too romantic. And it's just like, and it's giving, and it's 1973, yes, I understand. But it's giving the message of, if you try hard enough, it's totally worth it. And you can at least get a baby out of it. And it's like,
I can't believe that he's like, yes, I'll stay with you till the baby's born and then I will never talk to our daughter.
Fun. It seems totally worth it.
You may have noticed, I'm not a woman. I can't really picture being pregnant, but I kind of feel like that's when I want you around the least.
Right.
Every moment after the baby comes out, I'm going to need help. The period where you're sticking around, I'm just going to be cranky and hungry. I don't need you then. I need you to change a diaper later.
Right.
This, just my assumption. This movie came out October 19th, 1973. As with many at the time, it hit number one a little later. It hit number one November 21st. That weekend, it won with $1.3 million. Stayed at number one for 5 weeks. That's good. It's not unusual for them, but that's a good run. Dethroned by Serpico over Christmas weekend. It's
Serpico over Christmas week.
We opened the presents. Nothing left to do. Let's go see Serpico. Yeah, the Christmas number one in 73 was
I mean, I've seen a lot of weird movies on Christmas Day. Yeah. Let's be honest.
It earned about $50 million at the box office. Probably the fifth highest grossing film of the year behind The Exorcist, The Sting, American Graffiti. Fellow episode subject Papillon, fourth for that year. Arthur Lorentz, he wrote this thing. He wrote West Side Story and Gypsy for Broadway. You don't have to bleep it when I'm just saying the name of the existing show. He wrote Rope for Alfred Hitchcock. He wrote The Turning Point. And he wrote a novel that was loosely based on elements from his own life. Much like The Corners of Our Mind is loosely based on the way he felt about certain elements of his own life more than it was about.
This is making more sense as you say that.
Yeah.
Why would you tell this story? Because he lived it.
Because there was there was an activist girl that he probably had a big crush on and never really talked to.
It was also, he said that he like drew from his experiences with the screenwriting and the Blacklist.
Right. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
House Un-American Activities Committee comes into this movie late, doesn't it? We're at like an hour 30 and it's like, now was this the point? Is this what this movie is about? Because I can kind of see, okay, she's an actual communist and she gets married, but then he's a screenwriter. And that feels like an arc that we needed and isn't really
all the
way.
Could be its own movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, he wrote a novel first. He adapted that novel into the screenplay. Neither he nor Sidney Pollack thought that the end product really worked.
Okay.
Like, so you knew.
Yeah. Good.
I'm glad because Sidney Pollack is a phenomenal filmmaker. Yeah. And so this is a little bit.
This helps. Yep. This makes me feel a little bit better.
They fell out by the end of it and have kind of reconciled and kind of not over the years. But there was an early cut that was supposedly a disaster and extensively recut to try to make it better. A lot of the communism stuff.
Was cut. Oh.
Including the nerd boy from college being revealed as the one who gave her name to Congress.
I'm glad they cut that. Yeah. That's bullshit.
But then it was a big hit to the point where Lorentz, there's a script for a sequel.
Where they get back together?
No, where their kids meet and don't know.
Oh.
Ew.
And Barbara was repeatedly trying to make it and had Redford we'll both come back and do it as the parents who, you know, but that never.
Parent trap.
Yeah. That never came to pass because.
Communism.
Eventually, I think someone always realized there was no reason for that to exist.
Yeah.
And so it did.
Nobody wants it.
Expensive baubles.
As discussed last week, the song won. Mm-hmm. Did you say the score won?
Yes.
And Streisand was nominated, and there were a couple other nominations in there, too.
Yeah, we went over that in the last episode, so now I'll see if you know who they lost these to.
Oh, sure.
Best Actress went to
Glenda Jackson, right?
For A Touch of Class.
Which I've never seen, but is allegedly terrible.
Okay.
Robert Redford wasn't nominated, but he was nominated that year for The Sting. That's his only acting nomination. So you can only be nominated once per category, so he may have gotten votes.
It lost cinematography, too.
The Exorcist?
Cries and Whispers.
Oh, of course. Cries and Whispers. Oh, it's an Ingmar Bergman movie. Okay. It's intense and kind of great.
And it lost both costume design and art direction to...
I don't know.
The Sting.
Oh.
Yeah.
It
won the Golden Globe for Best Original Song. Also nominated for Actress in a Drama. She lost Actress in a Drama at the Globes 2. I had never heard of this movie or person. And I'm being disrespectful with that because it is a four-time Oscar nominee.
Oh, Jane Alexander.
Marsha Mason.
Oh, for Cinderella Liberty.
Liberty. Is that good?
I've never seen it.
It's good. But, you have a crush on young Scott Caan.
James Caan. Yeah.
Young Scott Caan.
Young Scott Caan. Short King. But yes. No, James Caan, I absolutely... It's in a spreadsheet. She got nominated for an Oscar. I will watch it someday.
Grammys, though. Song of the Year winner.
Really?
That's the songwriting one. That's Record of the Year is the recording. Song of the Year is the songwriting. Helps that Marvin Hamlisch wrote this.
Yes.
But this one Song of the Year, I should say... I did not know any of the fellow nominees, so it was kind of a weak field. Record of the Year was Olivia Newton-John's I Honestly Love You. Yeah, I'm sure you do. And whichever the Grammy is for soundtrack. It has a long, dumb name, but it won the soundtrack Grammy. Right. Speaking of the soundtrack, that went gold, peaked at number 20. The song, however, was not only the number one song in America for 2 weeks in early 74, so that is not our answer for later. It topped Billboard's top 100 singles of the year for 1974. So this is the number one song of 1974. And Barbara's first number one on the Hot 100.
Really?
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Huh.
Yeah. Hey, you know who loves this? AFI. I don't think this was on
100 years, .. 100 romances, that kind of
it's
thing.
It's actually 100 passions.
Oh, that's better.
Survey of the best romances in the first century of American cinema. It was really? Sixth.
Wow.
And only Casablanca, Gone with the Wind, West Side Story.
Gone with the Wind!
Is number two. The reason they don't put these lists out anymore.
Oh my God.
Casablanca, Gone with the Wind, West Side Story, Roman Holiday, and Affair to Remember.
Goodness gracious.
Way
oh
we
my
were,
lord.
Six.
I hate it.
Oh, that's so terrible.
Yeah, it's anyway. The song was number eight. Because I don't have that many facts, guess the top 10. What are the top 10 in AFI's 100 Years, 100 Songs?
100 songs.
So what are the
just
best?
In general,
if you are a boring person
when you wish
in
upon
1999,
a star.
What are the 10 biggest movie songs of all time? The Way We Were was number 8. When You Wish Upon a Star was number 7.
Okay.
Something from Sound of Music?
The song Sound of Music was number 10.
Okay.
You got 10, 7, and 8.
In 1999, this list.
Probably around then, around 99 or 2000.
How about
This is a Teenage Way.
Fame.
No.
Ooh, Never Can Tell.
No. I will say.
That's way too cool of an answer.
Yeah.
Way too cool.
Everybody's on Quentin's dick.
Yeah. Well,
only 6 and 9, which you don't have. You have 7, 8, and 10. 6 and 9 are the only others even close to modern.
Oh, really?
And by modern, I mean the 70s.
Oh,
there's nothing from the 80s.
So Staying Alive?
Staying Alive is number 9.
Oh, I see.
The top 5 are all old-timey. Number 6 is, what year is that? Number 6 is from a very modern feeling film from 1967.
The Graduate?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so Mrs. Robinson.
So Mrs. Robinson. I can walk you through it just so we stop killing time.
Yes, please.
Number 5 is Seasonal.
Oh, White Christmas.
White Christmas. Number 4, I don't even mainly associate as from the movie it's from. I just know it as a song, but yes, one of the greatest stars of all time takes a little guitar and sits in the window and sings.
Songs about rainbows? The Rainbow Connection?
No, I would count that
one
as
one of the
modern.
Greatest stars of all time. I love you. You're not wrong. One of the greatest stars of all time takes a guitar, sits down, and sings a song in a movie.
Mm-hmm. I think she's sitting in an apartment window. There's a racist caricature listening.
Oh, Moon River.
Moon River.
Yeah.
Paula Abdul. Yeah. Singing in the Rain on there.
That's number 3.
Okay, right that makes sense.
Number 2, Robin Should Have Been on Top Of.
Oh, from Casablanca.
Mm-hmm. As time goes
by. As time goes by, yes.
And no one has a shot at number one. No one can take a swing at the number one movie song of all time.
The song in High Noon.
That's a great guess. I would that it were.
I love that song. Which did win, by the way.
What? Hey, what do you think we'll start You Can't Handle the Truth about?
Wicked? So
Over the Rainbow?
Over the Rainbow.
There you go. Somewhere yeah. Over the Rainbow.
Boo!
Number one all time.
So, side note, all these years, I did not know it was Barbara.
Yeah, it's not.
It's missing an A. There should be.
She changed her name, or she changed the spelling of her name. That's the way you did it then.
I know, but it's Barbara. It's not, that's not a name anymore.
That's Barbara.
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 No,
Barbara.
I don't like that.
Okay.
I don't, but I love her. I don't know why this keeps happening, because this happened when we watched Movie That's Just a Song and Not Really a Movie. On a Clear Day You Can See Forever.
Yes.
I sat down again and I was like, boy, she's attractive.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
always forget, because we grew up in the 80s and 90s when she was still beautiful, but she was hot.
Yeah, she was a mom or somebody's mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And man, there's side boob in this movie when she sits down on the bed and I'm like,
yeah.
Why am I a little bit awoken.
Caught under the collar, goodness.
By this Barbara Streisand scene.
Do you object to people spelling Deborah, D-E-B-R-A?
Oddly enough, I think I'm a more object. I object more to the Deborah.
Okay.
No, because that isn't. I would have to know which of those names came first.
A Deborah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I like her. I like his performance of this guy I don't like.
Right, right.
Yes. I like some of the scenes. It has a good mood. It has a good tone.
I like the costumes a lot.
Yeah.
I want to wear most of what she wore in this movie.
Also, last time we had a Barbra Streisand, did we talk about the Tom Lenks play?
About yes, okay. We did.
All right. So I had forgotten that we had done another Barbra yes. movie. Climb a clear sky, whatever. Noticed that, you know, it's always fun to go back and see these movies where from like 70s, 60s, then you see like all these younger versions of actors that we know, like Punky Brewster's dad.
Oh my God.
And then her boss, I think he was like, hi, it's me, Stan, from Golden Girls.
Oh, oh my God. Okay.
So that, I mean, I enjoy that kind of stuff.
The mayor from Jaws is one of the other screenwriters.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and, I don't know, but this wasn't, oh, when he ties her shoe.
Erotic.
I used to tell dudes to do that. just to see
if they would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, that's all it was. And there's only, and usually if the ones that who did immediately without question, I had no interest in
fascinating
or doing anything like that.
Fascinating.
And only one dude ever said no, but then eventually was like, girl, come here. And then he took my shoe, took my foot up. And we're still friends to this day.
There you go.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I like that it's plausibly flawed. They are plausibly flawed.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, rom-com tropes.
No.
They're close to real people. And it has the right ending, which is, yeah, this didn't work. Sorry, you know. But even when they run into each other, it invites the, like, and then when they went and got coffee and talked about, and they're like, we're not going to do that.
No, this I like good. When he's like, I'm not. And she's like, you're right. You're right.
It's like, you're right. My bad.
Good call, buddy.
It's just a little nothing in watching it in 2025. I did consider what a 2025 remake would look like. And the answer is completely insufferable. Not for a minute. Someone who's
be like a TikTok star.
He was like into crypto, but isn't a jerk about it.
Right.
You know, but it is kind of his main thing. And she's like, you know, a campus activist who has never talked to anyone outside of the college campus in her life.
Yep. Never been anywhere outside of the city.
Would have been. but for the most part, I'm just sitting there like, okay, you're a movie.
Yeah. I found it. I wasn't engaged much in it.
I just went through my notes, and so many of my notes are about outfits.
So now I know why you liked it so much.
I want that Kitty Foyle dress so bad.
Well, and related, the Letterboxd list is hair is a character. Movies yes. where a character's hair tells a story. Includes Empire Records, Hairspray, Mulan, American History X.
I love how much she loves talking about getting her hair ironed in Harlem.
I know, mm-hmm. right? That right there. Mm. And then when she's like,
did you hear where I get my hair ironed?
And then the girl was like, I don't give a shit. What yes. you want me to be? You want me to be outraged? I get it. I don't even know anybody in Harlem. It's like, bitch, if you don't, and that whole conversation that she had about leaving the party, like, I get it. These people pissed you off. They said some insensitive shit.
Yeah.
You say what you say, you put them in their place. But about leaving, and I just don't understand why you hang out with these people, girl.
Yeah.
If you don't take that shit out into the hall, like, that's just so much.
Where the rich girl's like, would you like me to disapprove?
Yes.
I'm like, I just joined her side. Right. Like,
you know what? I'm Team Kim.
Right.
You know, whoever.
It's temporary, but in this moment, I'm like, yeah, what the fuck are you looking for right here?
Right. Oh, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. It's over.
Well, 62? I can't tell you it's bad.
Yeah, I'm going to say 65, and I feel like 15 of those points belong to Frank. Yep.
48.
And a 95
from Franco Ginsberg
still ends at 67.5.
That feels right.
He just canceled Camille out. That's all that happened there. Right,
which is, yeah.
Oh, to the bingo card. I didn't even think about the bingo
Enemies
card.
To lovers.
Hooray!
Is that a bingo for you?
No.
It's also not a bingo for me. Also, well, my bingo look. Card is that. Okay, anything but enemies to lovers?
Nope, that's that.
Can we call her singing the song a narrator? really setting us up.
Like Dan, when we were watching it, Dan was like in and out, and he was like, oh my God, I'm so glad this music is playing, otherwise I wouldn't know how to feel.
You were right. It's not Love Story with Famous People. That was, I watched the trailer and I thought, is this Love Story with Famous People? But
no. Which I replied, Ryan O'Neal was famous.
Not Barbara Streisand famous.
Not Babs in Red.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's time for You Can't Handle the Truth, as teased. Hey, we all saw Wicked.
We got to see a movie together. Hooray!
Second screening together after Gladiator 2. That's Remember crazy. There was a Gladiator 2
last
only a year ago?
It was 2024?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw Wicked for good. I like it better than Wicked Defying Gravity because it's pretty much the same thing, but with an ending. So instant thumbs up over the original one. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fine. Cynthia Erivo's still great. Ariana Grande is still. I don't even want the smoke. I don't want the heat from the fans. So I'm just going to stop that sentence there.
First movie is better. Her skills are better suited to the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Who? Ariana?
Ariana.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. What? Her comedic stylings?
Yes. Correct.
Yes.
Which I know you did not like.
Her comedy?
Yeah.
No, I liked it, the first one.
Oh, okay.
I don't mind it. I just don't, I'm not as entrenched in this
right
movie, this story, as most people are. So I am having a difficulty understanding. And I just saw it the one time. Maybe I wasn't paying enough attention, but.
Why are they friends?
Yeah. Why do they feel like they're friends?
Yeah.
Not exactly why are they friends, but why do they feel like
they love each other. They literally at the end say, I love you to each other.
Where do we see this?
Like
Glinda has been nothing but shite to her in public and in private as well. She's a backstabbing, two-timing. She talks shit about her.
Yeah.
And she just sets her up. And then it's the minute that, you know, okay, I get it. You know, your dude crossed over and, you know, wedding was ruined and she sells her out. Like, I don't understand. Like, where's this epic girl power love story?
I don't know how to.
They want to fuck.
I was going to say, it's like the only way it makes sense to me is that they are in love, which is irrational. So that's like the view that I have of this film. Like my Letterboxd review was like, keep watching movies about lesbians who never kiss because I do. Because this movie only makes sense if they're in love.
Right.
Yes. Okay. I will buy that, I guess. But it's just so crazy to me. And then there's everything. And then like the little girl, her sister who actually got the Wicked Witch of the East. Okay. Self-proclaimed and nobody was around to hear
I know.
Her.
Mm-hmm. So she is what a.
And we go from like, oh my God, her. But the first one, she's like, oh, she's so blah, blah, blah. And then now all of a sudden she's drunk with power and jealousy.
I mean,
again, it all comes down to girls getting a dick that they wanted to get. That's all. That's what this story is.
It's funny that in a movie that was 5 hours from a story that was 3 hours, I'm still like, where was that story? You took a 2.5 hour experience, made it a 5 hour experience, and I still feel like it's like, did you skip some shit with Nessa and. Okay, I guess I remember that Bach is kind of, but that feels like really afterthought-y.
Yeah.
And how could anything in this long-ass experience
right.
be?
I feel like we would have been better off just doing a series, a limited series.
Mm.
And so, like,
I think this should have been one movie. I think that would have been the correct answer. As two movies, I liked them both a lot. I think I liked this more than most people did. It's fascinating to me that like both, you know, with respect to you both, real film critics,
thank you.
And like they all seem to be like, boo, this one's bad. Last one, good. This one, bad. And I'm like, really?
Yeah, I can't. I'm not going to say that it's bad. I understand where my disconnection comes from. And I understand being a super fan of the culture, the story of, you know, the, being in that universe and having it mean something more to you than someone like me. I get it. And there are a couple of question marks I have about the story. Everybody who was involved did a fucking phenomenal job. It's a beautiful thing to watch.
Jeff Goldblum's great.
Jeff Goldblum
was pretty good.
Fucking hell, yes.
Like, he had a lot of fun.
I'm here for it. And I like that little story, that little bit, like, oh, okay, little twist, but it's just not my thing.
What I was going to say also is that the super fans, though, Marcella loved it. We saw with her. She loved it, so that's great. But, like, a lot of people who I talked to who loved the musical were really let down by this part. And I was like, so is it way better in the musical? And they were all kind of like, well, no. So I don't know. It's possible this is only, I only liked it because I never saw the musical.
I also have never seen the musical.
The storyline stuff was new to me. It's, you know, that was fun.
It's coming here in a couple of months. I look forward to going and comparing. I think that serious critics often...
That's what I meant, serious critics.
I think that because there's no such thing, right? You watched a movie and you liked it or didn't. I know that some people are doing analysis in the way that serious critics analyze literature. I know that that's a thing that exists. But fundamentally, I feel like you went to a movie and you had an experience and then you justified it. I feel like that's what we're all doing.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think you're saying part one has defying gravity and part two doesn't. And you spin that into part one is better. Part two is a better movie. I mean, it has a beginning, middle, and end. Part one doesn't.
One thing my mother-in-law said, she was like, there wasn't a lot of dancing. It didn't feel as magical as the first one. And I was like, yeah, because it's telling the story of a fascist society. Right. There, you don't get fun in dancing anymore. Them's the rules.
It's like
it's Sound of Music.
You know,
they're on the run.
You know, that's on my list for this one. I just saw Sound of Music. I had not seen it.
Really?
I saw it two, three weeks ago.
God bless you.
Yeah.
For, it's pretty making good. This, it's fine.
Like, what? Sound of Music is good? Breaking news.
There's like a hard line for me. Like, like exactly when the Nazis and all that stuff. I was like, hey, I'm done. We're done here.
I think I like Fiddler on the Roof better.
Me too.
Yeah. From Among the Era.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's
Fiddler
way,
on the Roof, Franco's favorite movie.
Yeah. But yeah, it's we're not telling it. No one's deciding whether or not to see Wicked for Good based on this conversation. Yeah, so, exactly.
But it's just interesting to me that I liked it more than most people.
Yeah. What else? Robin, you're really on a tear. I lost steam. I just have too much going on.
You also had an earlier deadline than me, so you just sort of had to throw your hands up at some point. In anticipation of the second annual Pittsburgh Film Critics Association Awards, I have been watching so many movies. So let's see. Sentimental Value. Through the Roof. Quite good.
And you weren't crazy about
The Worst Person
in the
World.
I did not
like The Worst Person in the World. Yeah. So I was iffy on if I was going to like this. I very much did. I don't think it is, you know, a masterpiece, phenomenal kind of thing, but it is a very nice movie about loving your family even when they're assholes.
Mm-hmm.
and making art. I do recommend it. I don't remember her name. It's like Inga something. She's got this long three-part name, but the other sister is so good. She's so good.
She's on the Critics' Choice nominations list.
And Elle Fanning is also quite good. Mm-hmm. I won't be surprised if they get the double nomination. A little bit of category fraud, though. Stellan Skarsgård is absolutely a lead in that movie. Highly, very highly recommend The Secret Agent, which is Brazil's international film submission this year. Or is it not Brazil? It's a movie about Brazil made by Brazilians, but maybe it's being submitted by Italy or some bullshit.
That's how it goes. The
way that the international Oscar works right now is broken. In any case, it is one of the best movies of the year. And Wagner Moura, who is getting some nominations here, he was nominated for a Critics' Choice Award just before we started recording, and he won Best Actor at, I think, Cannes, is so good and so hot. But it is a movie about basically normal people dealing with fascism, and it feels very relevant to our times. But also, it's, you know, set in 1977 Brazil, and it creates such an incredible sense of time and place. The production design in this thing is just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It is so captivating and wonderful, and I really loved it. I do think some people will struggle with the last 20 minutes or so of the film. Really worked for me, though. I don't want to say more without spoiling anything.
Sure.
I should have made a list.
You hated Begonia.
Of course I hated Begonia. Anybody mm-hmm. who knows me would understand I would hate Begonia. Begonia's kind of bad also.
Hey, you two, take a break from each other.
Yes.
Yeah, I know you seem to like hanging out. Great. Yeah. Go off for a little while and then come back together later.
I did like the score. That's the only thing I have going for Begonia.
I liked, the actor that played Jesse Plemons' brother, cousin.
Yeah, sure. He was good. Hedda, Nia DaCosta's movie, which is on Amazon Prime. I loved Hedda. This is another thing. I've never seen that play. I've never read that play. I didn't know shit about that play. Mm-hmm. So it was all new to me. When it was over, a friend of mine was recently in a production of it. And I was like, how does this movie even work when they're not gay? And she was like, I don't understand how this movie would work when they are. Mm-hmm. So really interesting movie. Tessa Thompson is phenomenal. And If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. Another really interesting movie. Rose Byrne is phenomenal. And both of these movies are in the genre I talked about a couple weeks ago with Die My Love called Crazy Bitch Goes Nuclear. So I love them all.
And like, is Conan O'Brien good?
No.
Okay.
He is not a dramatic actor. Mm-hmm. He does get some funny line readings though. Okay. I mean, like the movie is kind of a comedy. A$AP Rocky is good in it. And It Was Just an Accident. Really good.
Yep.
Wow. Again, also just like a movie for our times, right? Or a movie for hopefully 5 years from now or less. The ending I struggle with in a good way. Although Sean and I think the ending means different things.
Yeah, it has an ambiguous ending.
Yes.
My favorite thing and everyone else's least favorite thing.
And then Wake Up Dead Man. I thought it was just as good as the other two, and I think the other two are great.
I am shocked this got no Critics' Choice nominations. It seems to be fading.
It's not out yet, is the thing.
I don't think it's the best. I think it's better than Glass Onion. It's been too long since I've seen the original for me to, you know, make that claim. But the setting is so good.
Yeah.
The world of the story is so good. And dropping Benoit Blanc like Foghorn Leghorn into that world is so fun.
And I just think it's really interesting approaching the current state of Catholicism.
Yeah.
Everyone I know who was or is Catholic, I'm like, you know, you really got to watch Wake Up Dead Man.
And Glenn Close is great. I liked it a lot. You know, can I have your 1.5-star review of The Smashing Machine?
Oh, just boring as fucking hell.
It's not really a movie where things happen.
No, I was so bored. And also, why?
That's the big question.
Yeah.
This guy wasn't that interesting and not a lot interesting happened to him and no one knows who he is. Why do you have a biopic?
And also,
there are interesting MMA fighters.
It's like they put so much makeup on The Rock to create a face that isn't the face of this man, right?
It's
not what he looks like.
Mark Kerr's really white. And like,
yeah, it's just very strange.
He looks like The Rock with a bunch of shit on his head.
Yeah, it was. And also, like, poor Emily Blunt. Good God. Yeah. You just were nominated for an Oscar and you said yes to this.
I really like the scene where he breaks down in the hospital and he's trying to excuse it and he starts crying and he's weeping. And that is like the Oscar moment that The Rock thought he was going to get with this. And then there's the other 95% of the movie.
Like, he's fine in it. Like, he's a fine actor, but mm-hmm. the movie itself is so boring that no, couldn't do it.
Let's throw it to Camila.
Yes.
Wicked. I watched Sly, Sylvester Stallone documentary, Aces. I watched Stop the Insanity, Finding Susan Powder documentary. Not so great.
Really?
Yeah. It's not like I knew who she was,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know who she was.
Right.
Kind of thing. And I still don't.
Yeah.
That's after watching this.
That's not good.
But also, I kind of hate her.
That's also not good.
Right. So I expected more from, it was produced by Jamie Lee Curtis, which is why I even gave it a shot.
Mm.
And because again, like, I have no real stakes in this woman. But yeah, so it was a little disappointing in that. Eileen, Queen of the Serial Killers. It was all right.
Is that
a new documentary?
How many documentaries do we need about this one lady?
I know. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
But apparently this footage was taken. This was the filmmaker that started this project when Eileen was still alive.
And
she had spoken to her in prison and was like going to visit her and all this stuff.
Okay.
And she had all this film. And I still don't know how it came to fruition now. But yeah, now, I don't know why now, but yeah. And it wasn't, it was fine. I mean, again, like after having seen all of the other ones and all of the other podcasts, and like her story has been told. Like, we understand, we get it. So there's nothing really new to say. After the hunt, you guys saw that, yeah?
I liked it.
I haven't watched it yet.
I gave it 2.5 stars and a heart. So I liked it, but there was something, and it's been so long since I've seen it. Like, I don't remember exactly what it was that it just didn't work for me.
It's a weird movie. I have a piece. I wrote a piece about it, which we'll be publishing on my newsletter, which will exist. The thing about that movie that worked so well for me was the last 10 minutes. I feel like without those last 10 minutes, I wouldn't like the movie as much.
I think that's what pissed me off.
Okay.
I think the last 10 minutes is what really got me. I really loved I loved that actor who played Julia's husband.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
Yes.
I love
every time he's on screen, I am here for it. And the whole the
bitchy
fucking,
little walk right? in and out of the kitchen.
Passive aggressive, like, oh my God, I love this. Like, I would in real life
he's
I would
so
choke
mean,
you out. But
though he's so mean. That scene where he's like, explain your thesis to me, Maggie. Right. I'm like, I'm going to pour your cassoulet on your face, you jerk.
But yes, he made it very interesting for me. And everybody, you know, it was a great story. And I don't know. Again, I don't remember the specifics. One night I was up at like 1 in the morning or something like that and wanted to fall asleep. So I put on The Score, 2001, Edward Norton, Robert De Niro.
And Marlon Brando.
Yes.
And Angela Bassett for some reason.
Yeah, out of nowhere. Why did I stay up and watch the whole fucking thing? Like,
that movie's kind of fun.
It's great.
Yeah.
Like, I really liked
it. When that movie came out, they were aggressively promoting it as like the three best actors of three generations.
Right.
And then you go see it and it's just like a goofy heist movie and it's like, okay.
You know, I don't know. I like the fact that it is, I wouldn't call it a goofy heist movie. It's a heist movie, yes, and I love that, but I also love that it doesn't rely on the tricks of the heist movie.
Oh, you're so right.
The gunshots and the blasts and the this. And
yeah.
It's all about the conversation and about the sneaky and the double cross and all of that stuff.
You're
and
so right.
That's what I really dig about it. One battle after another.
Okay, this is what I've been waiting for, this one.
Do you want to talk about In Your Dreams or Roofman? So then we're building up to one
okay,
battle
sure.
after another.
Okay, no. In Your Dreams, Netflix animated cute story. It's great, you know, for kids. Roofman, I really liked it.
Good.
And I think you guys did not.
I thought it was just kind of too surface level.
I gave it the same score as you.
Okay. Yeah, I liked it more because when I thought about it more like a love story that this guy, and this is just some other shit that happens, that this guy is going through.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, oh, a true story about this bank robber or whatever, the guy robbed McDonald's. And God damn it, I didn't expect it, but the ending, I cried. Like, watching Channing, like, I didn't know. Like, Channing, bless. Like,
yeah, he's really good in it. And so is Kirsten Dunst, yeah.
Yeah, she is. And I don't usually like her. But I think I'm liking her more the older she gets. Yeah.
I love and have always loved her.
She always just kind of seemed dead eyes to me.
You've heard Robin hate Begonia and the Smashing Machine. Neither of those are a surprise. Now for more hate. Here's Camila on One Battle After Another. None of us saw this one coming.
I kind of saw this one coming.
Did you?
Did you?
Or I thought it was possible. Let's put it that way.
Hollywood loves to take the most misogynistic, racist bullshit movie and slap best movie of the year on it. Like, and these are like, this is just like, these are my initial thoughts that I wrote down.
Yeah.
Right after seeing it. I'm incredibly offended by the heavy racial slurs in the movie. As I mean, I've said it before, like, we can do this. We can establish that someone is a racist without having to go so deep into all this and the misogyny as well. It's two different movies. When Leo is on screen, it is a comedy.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought that when like going in kind of, that's what I thought was expecting.
Yeah.
Just from the trailers and stuff. The revolutionaries seem like they aren't really fighting for anything seriously. They seem to be more into the idea of revolting. It was a waste of Regina Hall. There's a lack of depth in all of the characters. It would have made a more compelling story to start with the 16 years later. What is the message exactly? And the rape in reverse? Like, are you? That just boiled my blood.
I mean, he's full of shit, right?
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
It's not like the movie is saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I kind of felt that it was it seemed racially insensitive to have him gassed and then put in an oven.
You know,
at the end,
I spent a day reading half star reviews of One Battle After Another. Oh. And that was a common thing that people pointed out. Yeah. And I was like, yep, that is kind of weird. That's kind of weird.
And the letter from the mom to the daughter, and just to leave it at maybe you will be the one to put the world right. That is a lot to put on a child that you had no hand in raising.
But she sucks is the thing. Perfidia sucks. So she's going to write shitty things in her letter to her daughter.
Like, so I just don't understand the point of this fucking movie. I'm just... It really angered me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am so sorry you didn't like it. I mean, like, I remember when I walked out of it, I was like, I really want to know what Camila thinks about this because you have a very finely tuned bullshit detector. And there's definitely a vein of bullshit running through this movie. And I, at the end of the day, it still sweeps me off my feet.
Why?
I think the thing that I loved so much about it, and it especially came to me the second time, is that like this movie has, for me, a hopeful message at a time where I feel very, very not hopeful.
What, like as in the next generation?
Yeah.
Kind of hopeful?
Mm-hmm. And also just like the biggest schmucks on the planet can pull one off. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're totally right that like the like drama and of like Chase and Vinnie on the run versus Leo running after her as a comedy, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
And I loved the comedy part of it.
Yeah.
And I also thought that like, I really loved the like action of the last hour or so. Like I love that car chase, et cetera.
I get that. Yeah. I think it's just all of the useless misogyny and racism is too much for me.
I think that's totally valid.
It's like, and several times I was like, did Quentin Tarantino direct this? Is that what this is? Because that's exactly what it is.
To your point that like, what are these revolutionaries actually doing? Mm. I thought that was intentional.
Okay.
I think
just to give it up, you know, so the movie wasn't saying anything about anything against anything.
Really. I more meant that like, that's what revolutionaries are actually like. Like Bob Ferguson, why is he in that position? Okay. It's not because of deeply held beliefs of justice. It's because he likes blowing shit up and is a fuck up. Right. So like that to me, I think is believable. Let's put it that way. And like, I thought like Perfidia's like, you know, the ways that she sucks as a person. I thought they did a nice job of like letting her be bad without being like, we're not meant to hate her. Do you know what I mean? I felt like I thought they were really sympathetic towards a deeply flawed character.
I don't know, man. Oh, well,
I also liked it a lot, but I feel better because you didn't. Here's why. Because I liked it a lot and don't have a lot to say about it. I couldn't have just said what Robin said about it.
Gotcha.
And I keep hearing people who are all in on it, who are best movie of the year, who are obsessed with this. And I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't think... I'm not all the way there, and I haven't been able to articulate why, and I think you have.
I think also the other thing that I wanted to just say that I like about the movie so much is like the little moments of resistance that you see from the people who actually do know what they're like, Benicio del Toro's character, and like one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie is when the lady's like, so you have diabetes and you forgot your medicine yesterday? Right. Like just like those little things I think were really hopeful. Yeah,
I mean, they do, it has its moments, and they're just overshadowed by the bullshit.
There's a lot of bullshit.
And
did you also think that guy that Tony Goldwyn hired looked too much like Tony Goldwyn?
Yes.
Okay, good. I wanted to make sure that it wasn't.
I was like, why, Sway? Like, why do we have two Tonys? And and also this movie now makes me, like, some of this dialogue has me looking at Tony and Sean crazy. So it's just like, you know, it's just.
Yes, it must not feel great.
It was a subversion. He knows you love him. So when he says that, it's a little,
Semen demon?
So what else did I see? Zootopia 2. I really thought there would be a little bit more after 10 years.
Did you like the first one?
I liked the first one. The first one is definitely better than this one in the way that it's just like, oh yeah, we just did a sequel. We just brought the characters back and had another adventure.
Gotcha.
And it has it has some stuff to say about some stuff, but not a lot. And it felt like, well, what, why did you have to wait 9 years to do kind of a normal, to do a Cars 2, you know, with this? I like it fine. I'm glad I made a lot of money. Take your kids. Nothing wrong with it. But, you know, it just didn't blow me away. Love Hamnet. I mean,
Hamnet.
It's kind of catnip for me, but, it, you know, oh, it's a thing about the theater with death and sadness and beautiful, beautiful set. Beautiful scene pictures.
Dear stage Sean. Pictures. Dear Sean Collier.
Okay. This is the thing about Hamnet. I walked into Hamnet expecting a movie about grief.
Yeah.
And it is a movie about art. And I mean, obviously grief is involved.
Right.
But like what I wasn't emotionally ready for is like that really wonderful experience that when you're like, oh, the thing that's being depicted in the movie is what is currently happening to me,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like you watch these people be transported and transformed by Hamlet, and you're like, oh, I am being transformed by Hamnet.
Yeah.
This is like healing a part of me that I did know was broken. Mm-hmm. But through the power of art, while showing me people being healed through the power of art, and I just love that shit.
And
I just love it.
Spoilers, the fact that it ends at a performance, and I mean it ends at a performance. There's not a scene after the performance ends.
Right.
It is so much more powerful to me than any other choice that could have possibly been made.
I agree.
It's perfectly directed. She won't win, but if they gave Chloe Zhao another Oscar for this, I would be fine with that. Jesse Buckley might well win.
Yeah.
And that would be very well deserved. It's just, it's beautiful. I talked about it on the radio this morning. Is it out today?
It came out yesterday.
Okay, good. I talked about it.
I saw it in the theater. I had the very interesting experience of, first of all, one of the new theaters at the new waterfront does not have assigned seating. What?
Yeah.
2006. However,
Wild West.
I know, but this did result in me running into someone who I know from the theater, from Arcade. He and his mom were seeing it together, and I was like, "Do you mind if I sit with you?" Which was very nice, but I was surprised. But then I was like, "Oh shit! I am sitting next to a friendly acquaintance and his mom, and I am ugly crying."
You know, it's nice to see people caught up in the film.
So anyway, that was fun. Yes, it's in theaters.
It's in theaters. And I said, the only thing that's even like a criticism I can have is, if you don't think you're going to be interested in this, you're not.
Nah.
If you don't want a long, slow grief movie about Shakespeare's family, if that sounds boring to you, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I completely agree.
This is one where I'm like, no, you have to. But it's other than that.
I also just feel like any really parent. Good. I'm like, I like Camila, like, are you?
Yeah, I have no desire.
Okay,
I was on the first half of that, if you don't want to do this.
I was going to say, like, even if you have a little bit of like, oh, well, maybe, I'm going to be like, okay, don't, because it's about a child dying, that's just going to be too hard for most parents, I think.
Yeah. And he lies down next to her.
Oh my God.
But
and the kid is great.
He's great.
Jacoby Jupe. And his older brother, Noah, who was in the Quiet Place movies, is also in it as Hamlet.
Still not going to get my young performer vote because
Miles Caton 20.
From Sinners is under 21.
Oh,
so,
oh wow.
Yeah.
Good for him. And also, how is Sinners not on Rolling Stone's top list?
It's not?
It's not?
No.
What are you doing over there?
They fired Alan Sepinwall and then they forgot Sinners.
This is the reason that place is falling apart. No, there's 50 reasons that place is falling apart. Hey, hire me. I took a different new job. Let me do this one first. Hire me later, but I'm working remotely. I'm not moving. I don't know where you're based, but I'm not going there. The opposite of Hamnet, K-pop Demon Hunters. It's so good. You were right. You were right all along.
Welcome to summer.
Welcome to summer.
Music's great. It's fun. It's funny. Oh, loved K-pop Demon Hunters. Anything else I want to hit here? Let me just hit Keeper, because this is the third movie in this run for Osgood Perkins. I keep forgetting that Osgood Perkins has like five other movies, and I've seen some of them. But in this new wave of his career, Long Legs last year, The Monkey earlier this year, Keeper was a trailer on the end of The Monkey.
Oh.
And it's the best of the three.
Oh,
easily.
Really?
It's a woman played by that woman who's in several of his movies, Tatiana Maslany.
Oh, sure.
Goes to her boyfriend's cabin in the woods, and things get weird really slowly. That's what I like.
Really slowly.
Yeah, just the slow drip by drip. Nice. But certainly, unlike Long Legs, this one has all of the atmosphere, and then the payoff is worth all of that atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Like, when you figure out what's going on, it is appropriately what the fuck, instead of kind of a letdown like Long Legs was. Yeah, I like this a lot. It has none of the buzz of the first two movies. Mm-hmm. Like, it made no money, and people aren't talking about it. But if you liked those, especially if you were, like, halfway there on those, add in Keeper.
I didn't realize it had come out.
Yeah, it came out very, very quietly.
Wow.
A couple of weeks ago, I saw it at the drive-in with The Running Man. I would talk about The Running Man, but it feels like
we've been talking about so many movies.
It feels like The Running Man already doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So it's and the one I've been waiting 20 years for. I'm going this Sunday. Wow. Kill Bill combined.
Oh, yeah.
4 hours and 35 minutes of it, and I saw that and I thought, is that enough? I feel like it should be 5. Okay, I'll take 4.5 hours. But
is drive-in or actual? You going?
It's in the theater. Yeah. And when I bought the ticket, it was like a weird, awkward corner scene. I was gonna do it anyway, but I
just say they make you sign a waiver.
Yeah.
When you buy the ticket.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm just so happy that it exists. Because no, we'll save it for next time.
Yeah.
Or never, because who cares? But
people clearly care. You had to sit in the corner.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That screen that was like a. I think I'm seeing it like 1 o'clock Sunday, and that was full.
Yeah, is that just like one weekend.
Yeah,
I it's going to play all week, but it's one of the. It is a brief release. It's the holidays, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
Sure, cold outside. So
wait, can I go back to Wicked for Good?
Of course.
It's. I know. We have to wrap up.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Is it about Dorothy?
No, I thought you were going to talk about clock ticks.
No, I'm not.
I'll be back at a clock tick.
I should have said, wait a clock tick. Yeah. Can I talk more about Wicked for Good? I vowed to mention this actress's name everywhere I can because I feel so bad.
Dorothy.
Bethany Weaver plays Dorothy. And at some point in her life, she heard, you're going to be Dorothy in the Wicked movie.
Yeah.
And she thought to herself,
finally,
I've broken through. And for a legitimate but heartbreaking directorial choice, her face never appears. So this woman played Dorothy Gale in the biggest movie of the year and could walk through Times Square right now and not get noticed. Yep. Once.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm rooting for you. I hope that your next move is just your face on the screen.
Maybe this can be like, you know, you see Kevin Costner's fingernails in The Big Chill, right?
Mm-hmm.
What? Never mind. We don't have time for
it. We don't have time for this. Look it up.
I'm sure you're correct. It's the holidays. We're going to draw one movie. We're going to draw one movie and watch it because there's
11 things left on our list.
Not because of the calendar, not a lot of Christmas movies end up going to number one, and most of the ones that did, we've either watched or vetoed.
Because like, when we draw them off season, I tend to veto them.
And we did double features for a while, which we didn't have
the long gaze.
No, I don't know what the hell.
So we're down to 11 Christmas
which means
movies.
There's roughly an 8% chance that we are going to draw Terrifier 3.
We didn't.
Oh, thank God.
We instead drew Elf.
Okay.
Sure.
I'm good. I don't have a movie to watch this week then.
You already did?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it so many fucking times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have watched it twice already.
And James Caan.
Yeah. It'll be good to get my why this isn't all that great of a movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
on record.
Let's go ahead and just get that out of the way now.
Yeah, I'm glad to.
This movie is deeply beloved.
Save it for next time. Yes, Tune in for me to respond to that sentence.
But you know how.
It's no Talladega Nights, I'll tell you that.
Well, there's a lot of people that don't like.
I don't like Christmas.
Christmas or Christmas movies, and I'm kind of sick of it. And you guys are familiar with Pluto TV, yes?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are leaning into the realization that sometimes December and the holidays can feel like a full contact sport. And I know this kind of sounds like a commercial. It is, but it's not. Nobody's paying me for this.
This is a public service announcement.
It's public service, but I wrote this beforehand. So for the whole month of December, Pluto TV are featuring some kick-ass action-packed films under the collection title, The Holidays Are Brutal. So titles like the full franchise of Blade, The Expendables, Indiana Jones, and the entire 25-film James Bond collection, Rush Ooh. Hour, Ooh. And a bunch more. It's like the list goes on. They are all available now on Pluto.
All of the James Bonds are free?
All 25.
How about that?
So if you want to step away from the sappy holiday love stories and the animated singing snowmen, download Pluto TV app for free.
Oh, here, go.
Pluto is really fun.
Go halfway. Do The Gray with Liam Neeson is in there because it's still, there's snow.
Yes.
It's cold.
So celebrate the cold weather with Liam Neeson.
Could do Warrior, which was filmed here in Pittsburgh. That's an MMA movie that's better than The Smashing Machine. And for at least 10 seconds, one member of the original lineup of this podcast is in.
Yes.
Aaron Kleiber does appear in Warrior.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of good stuff. I want to see Cliffhanger. I've never watched Cliffhanger.
Oh, it's great.
I've never watched it either.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. Pluto
TV.
I mean,
like, it's not like an actually good movie, but it is.
That's Sylvester Stallone, right?
Look at all these good movies. This is a
Shawshank Redemption, Silence of the Lambs, Wolf of Wall
Street. The Mummy, Brendan Fraser, yes. And Rachel Weisz. Set It Off is in here.
Ex Machina, which one of my silent favorites. Like, I don't talk about that movie enough, but it's, I mean, yes.
And.
Exactly. Oscar Isaac's dance scene. Killing it.
One of the reasons that the Theronathon podcast exists, Reindeer Games.
That's right.
Nice.
Yeah. Which, watch, it's bad, but...
Terrible movie.
Throw it on, by all...
And then you can listen to the Theronathon episode.
Mm-hmm. So, Elf, up next time, and before we wrap it up, you're not going to get it. I can just tell you.
Let's try.
Killing Me Softly.
No, the date again, we're looking for November 21st of 1973.
Is it an artist we've never heard of? Is that what you're saying?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to assume. It is a singer who was a member of a vocal group not long after he left that vocal group.
Philip Bailey?
No, had his big solo hit with this song. It's the early 70s. The name of this song is like a 60s bumper sticker phrase.
Keep on trucking.
Correct.
Wow. Is a song?
Who is this?
You got it.
Okay, wow. Good for me.
His name is Eddie Kendricks. He was one of the Temptations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, never would have been able to get that.
Had a number one hit. Keep on trucking.
No idea that song existed.
No idea that that was a song.
I know who Eddie is.
And it's the all I listened to most of it. It's 9 minutes long.
So no, shut the fuck
nine?
Up.
I listened to about
Edward.
Seven.
Edward.
It's not what you think, because I hear the phrase keep on trucking, and I think it's going to sound like Eastbound and Down.
Yeah.
I think it's going to sound like Smokey and the Bandit, and it's just like a long funk jam where he occasionally says keep on trucking.
Or it's supposed to be keep on fucking.
Oh, you put it together. Which is also the theme of Wicked for Good.
9 minutes doesn't seem that long, does it?